The title of my message is Just Keep It Real. Okay, first I'm going to start by talking about this house. This small little lentil patch that's so filled with great word. Okay, I know some people might think from the outside that don't really know us to say, you know what, he's up there and he's getting an opportunity to share because he's the pastor's brother. But that's not the case. I'm getting an opportunity to come up here and share because I'm getting the same word that each and every one of us is getting. Amen. And that word that we're getting is so good, it's so accurate that any one of us could get up and share. And it has been times where a number of us have got up here and shared. So it's not a family thing or a favorite thing. It's a JCMI thing. Okay, let me get started. I want y'all to take this opportunity to look around the room, right? And I want you to look into the faces of your brothers and sisters. Now take a minute. What do you see? Hard question. I'm going to answer that for you. You see exactly what they want you to see. Okay, because as human beings, we have this amazing ability to show our best face. You know that thing where you put the best foot forward, that you let people see what you only want them to see? While all these other things are going on, you portray that image of everything is going well. Everything is fine. So really, when we need to hide who we really are, what we continually feel, what we truly believe, we can be like chameleons. We could be a deceiver. We could be a showman or a showwoman in any case. We can show man so many incarnations of ourselves. But no matter what you present, God sees the real you. And it's funny because, I watch TV and I get revelation out of the simplest things. All right, it's this old Navy commercial that comes on, and I laugh about it. It's a bunch of women, they in either a bar or something like that, and they standing around talking. So all the girlfriends come in, and they got these different color old Navy jeans on, right? So she looks at her friends, and she's like, oh, y'all went to old Navy? And they like, oh, we got you one up here too. So she takes the jeans, and she's in the middle of the bar, and she starts putting it on. And they trying to direct her to the bathroom. And she's saying, they know me. They know me. Like, this is me. Yeah, yep, this is me. So everybody knows me. You know, when you think about it, where's the place that you go that people know you? You walk in and you like the celebrity. Hey, what's up, everybody? And they, people know me in here. And that's what you're showing. You're showing the people what you know, who you are. But then, sometimes we get before daddy, and it's a whole different picture, right? But what's so funny about that, we think he don't know, but he knows. He knows us. He formed us. He created our individuality. And he continually saves us from ourselves. Okay, I want to read Jeremiah 29:11. Okay? And I'm going to read out the NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, why did I go there? Because man always has a plan. But God's plan is no doubt greater. If you think about it, God set all of us up lovely. And now I want to go to John 14, verse 16 and 17. If y'all want to go with me, y'all could go with me, but it's going to take me a second to get there, right? John 14. Mm-hmm. If you're there with me, you can say amen. If you're just going to let me read it, you can still say amen. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener. Stand by to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to heart because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he is the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be with you and will be in you. He knows you. He knows us. He makes a way for us. Gives us provision. You know, when we go to God, there's no borders, there's no doors, and there's no deception. Just go before him real. You know, like, and I would say in my case, it's moms. In most of our cases, moms. It might be mom and dad in the house, but it's usually mom. Mom usually knows when something's wrong. Even before you go before her. Mom say, oh, I knew something was wrong. Let me call so-and-so because I got a feeling in my spirit that something's not right. Or you'll go to mom and you say X, Y, and Z. And mom say, well, what's wrong, baby? No, what aren't you telling me? So, mom birthed us. And God created mom. So if mom knows when something's out of place, you think God don't know when something's out of place? You think when we go to God, hiding our face, hiding our true feelings, hiding our true intentions, he don't know what's going on? Because you think about it. God created us, right? He knows our faults. He knows what hurts us. He knows our frailties. He knows all of our shortcomings. Okay, I want to go to Psalms now. And I'm going to go to Psalms 56. I'm going to do verse 8 and 9. If I could get my technology to act right, we'll be just fine. And if I can't get my technology to act right, you're just going to have to bear with me. That's how it goes. You have taken into account all my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not recorded in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me.
Hallelujah.
See, that's, I don't know if that was David, but that's someone speaking about God's greatness, what God set up for us, what God knows about us, what God has made available for us, what God has availed to us. You know what? Speaking of keeping it real in God knowing us, I'm going to go get off script a little bit, but I'm going to stay on the topic. Okay? Most of us in this house, we can remember old JCMI before the purge. Okay, you think about it. We had a bunch of big brothers, and they kind of ran it like it was their own private little army in certain cases. We had the usher ministry, and I used to laugh because these guys were running around with walkie-talkies and acting like they were Secret Service and stuff like that. And some of them were taking liberties. They was feeling like they had a closeness to pastor, so they had authority. And they can do and say pretty much what they want to do and say. See? And when I came here with a charge. I came here with a charge from my mom, which God confirmed. And that charge was to watch out for my brother. When I came here, my nephew had just died in a car accident. Right? And as strong as my brother is, and always was, that he got up here the Sunday after and he preached and he gave the word and he did not stop. He did not slow down. He showed us how real God was and how true God's love is. So when we had the big JCMI, I always sat in the background. I played my position. I didn't try to be part of anything or jump in any ministry here or whatever. I just sat in the back and I got that word. That word was so good and that word was fulfilling. And when that light shined into the darkness and it revealed what those people really was, and those rats started to scatter, and I was asked to step up. It wasn't something that I was jumping up and down saying, oh yeah, I want to do it. This is my opportunity. I was still trying to stay in the background because I looked at it like this. My charge was to keep an eye on my brother. I felt it was easier, and I still do, easier for me to keep my eye on my brother if I'm not so involved with everything that he's doing. If I'm not caught up in his day-to-day everything going on, I can sit back and I can watch. And I can have a better eye on what he's doing in a better regard to where I need to be. So I kind of shied away from it. But then God reminded me, you have a charge. Keep an eye on your brother. That was the charge that your mom gave you, and I confirmed it. Keep an eye on your brother. So I said, okay, you know what, God? So it is my time. Because we have decreased in size. We don't have all these ministers. We don't have all these people opening the leading service and stuff like that. So, yes, it's I have to get up here and I have to do what I have to do. So I accepted that role. Because I kept it real with God. I let him know where I was at, what I was comfortable with, what I wasn't comfortable with. So he put me in right where I would fit. Right where I can do what I can do. Right where I know what I can do can work. He didn't just throw me in and say, you know what? Hey, you good? Do this. He guided me every step of the way. When I got up here and I had to share a word, no matter what I wrote down, no matter what I thought I had, I thought it sounded good. I thought it didn't sound good. I went to Daddy. I said, God, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking of speaking about. I'm hoping that the family will receive it. What do you think? Sometimes he said, okay, you know, you good here. And look, I'm not going to stand up here and say, me and God, we boys like that. We chit-chat. No. Okay. My relationship with God is not like that. But I know if I go before my father and I need something, he's going to listen to me. And see, and that something that I had to learn from the other end is that when he's speaking to me, I need to learn to listen to him. Because I can get off into my own stuff and I know I'm not the only one. We can get off into doing our own thing because we set up our mind where we want to do something. And we might, okay, check mark. I ask God. But did we wait to receive that instruction? Did we wait to hear what God had to say about it? And if God said, nah, that's not a good idea, did we listen? Or did we just run full steam ahead doing what we plan to do anyway? And as sometimes I was guilty of that. I'm still guilty of that sometimes. I might go before God and I pray and I do the prayer, supplication and thanksgiving and do it the right way. But just because I'm doing it the right way doesn't mean I'm listening to what God's telling me. I'm hearing him because you can hear. Doesn't mean you're receiving. Doesn't mean you're listening. Doesn't mean you're comprehending. Doesn't mean you're taking it in. Doesn't mean you're following instructions. You can do everything the right way as far as you know and get the wrong results. Because when you go before God, you can't be that best face you that you want to be. You have to keep it real. You got to be that real you. So what I'm thinking, and I'm striving more to do this. When I go before God, like I said, I want to show my true face. I want my heart to be clean, and I want to speak to him frankly. I don't want to go to him telling him what I want to tell him. I want to tell him what's real, what's true. And you know why I say that? Because no matter what, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's on your mind, no matter what's on your heart, no matter what you're believing, no matter what you're feeling, in all things, he got you. I want to read, I'm still in Psalms 56. Now I'm just going to go to verse 10 and 11 now, all right? In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God, I have put my trust and confident reliance. I will not be afraid. What could man do to me? Think about it. Man can do nothing to you. Okay, so we'll go before man, and we put on this show, and we show him our best face, and we show him our best imitation self. And we get so comfortable doing that, and we go to God the same way. Okay, I did X, Y, and Z. And maybe if I don't bring it to God's attention, he won't know I did it. But Daddy seen you. You butt naked in the garden. Where you gonna hide at? Think about it. We can hide from man, right? We know that. We can hide from man. We can show men anything we want. We can skew our own representation, right? But God sees you. God sees the real you. He sees the only you that he knows. The you that he created. Good, bad, or indifferent. He sees the you that he created.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Think about it. He gave you life. Then he gave you new life.
Yeah.
By sending his son, Jesus, to atone for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it. None of us are perfect. Okay, we all have our flaws, we all have our faults, we all have our ways, right? We all have things that we want to change or things that we wish we could change and things that we know we should change, but we don't change, right? But when we go to God, if we want to have a real relationship with him, we want to have an actual covenant connection with him, not just go to him with phony prayer and try to show him the good. Don't reveal the bad or the ugly. We're going to just keep that to ourselves. You want God to move on your behalf? Keep it real. It's simple. Keep it real. I don't like to, like, speak about myself. I'm not a rich man. But you know what? I know how to go to God and keep it real. And Daddy take care of me well. Okay? He puts me in situations where I'm able to flourish. And he keeps me out of situations where I can get in trouble. And the only way he's able to do that is I'm going to him with an open mind, with an open heart, and I'm being real. Okay, there's no church Jeff and there's no outside Jeff. Okay? They're one and the same. If I'm up here and I'm laughing and joking and being silly like I do, guess what? I do that all the time. I do it at work. I do it wherever I'm at. I could just meet you. And if I feel like I'm good with you and I'm going to be me, I'm just going to be me. Love it or hate it, I'm just going to be me. I can't have a face over here, a face over here, a face up here, and a face back here. Can't do it. God created me just like this. All my flaws, all my faults, all my errors, all the things I admit, all the things I confirm, all the things I confess to, all of that's from God. Things that I can't correct on my own. And we love to do that. We think we know what's wrong and we think we know how to fix it. God, I got this. I don't need you right now, and I got this. I'm going to do this. I know what I'm doing. It's like when you're showing a child how to do something, and you start showing them, and they just start trying to speed out ahead of you. I know. And then when we crash and burn, then we go back to Daddy. You know what, Daddy, when you was telling me that thing the other day, you know what? I was kind of listening, but I wasn't really listening, so I heard you, but I didn't really hear you. What did you say again? Now we want to get it right. I'm not saying we're not going to be that, because we are human, and he gave us this wonderful gift, free will. Okay? There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. There's no such thing as a perfect person. But there's a such thing as a perfect God. Okay, so if we endeavor to follow our Father's leading, our Father's teaching, and when we go before him with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, we go to him real. We don't hide. We reveal who we truly are. We show our true self. We hold nothing back. Because you know what? He's holding nothing back from us. And the more that we reveal to him, the more that we release to him, the more he's going to release to us. You think it's good now? It can only get better. There's no take backs. There's no, I don't like you today, so I'm taking this from you. What God gives us is ours. And he's always willing to give us more. So we have to endeavor to give him more of us. And I understand, because we are who we are, sometimes that is hard. I'm not going to say it's not. Sometimes it's difficult when you're used to doing things your own way to let something go. Sometimes you pull it. No. But as Pastor showed us so many times, when you release it, you get that freedom. And when you receive those blessings on the other end, it's like, wow, why did I hold on to this so long? Yeah. Our God is amazing. Yeah. Let's bottom line it, all right? You know I'm not talky, so you know what? Let's bottom line it. Our life is a gift. Is a great blessing, regardless of what we face, regardless of what we encounter, This gift of life that God gave us is an extraordinary blessing. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything special. He just gave it to us because he loves us. No, God is real. God is always real. God will forever be real. So when we go before God, we need to be real. Okay, I'm gonna close. It's a poem that I wrote, and I read it here before. When I was leading service last year sometime, I read it here before. But when I was prepping this message, I said, you know what? You're talking about keeping it real and about me seeing the real you. This poem fits your message. Now, one day I'll be able to get up here and dazzle you for an hour and stuff like that, you know. But that's just not how God built me yet. I'm going to spend more time with Daddy, and I'm going to work on being a wordsmith and being able to flow in that total anointing so I can just do that. But I'm just not there yet. But I'm comfortable where I'm at. And why I'm comfortable where I'm at, cause just like Edward said, I keep it real. I'm giving you what God gives me. I'm giving you where God has me at this time. Okay, and the title of my poem is You See Me. No matter what door I walk through, whether you close it or not, you see me. Whenever I misstep, go left at the fork of the road, when I should have gone right, you see me. Even if I accelerate, decelerate, or come to a temporary standstill in my drive, my lifelong mission to be better before you, Father, you see me. Regardless of my imperfections, shortcomings, lack of knowledge of self, and my place in the kingdom, you see me. And I thank you, Father, that no matter which me shows its face, you always see me. You never stop loving me, and I know that your love is true because I see you. Thank you, family. Amen. So I want to. So I just want to close us quickly in a prayer before Pastor comes up. Father God, thank you for allowing me to be one of your vessels, a conduit for your word, Father God. To be your child that can walk before you and be real and show you the real me and not be afraid of the repercussions. Not be afraid of the correction. Not be afraid of the direction. Not be afraid to hear your voice, Father God, and know that your voice is the only voice that I should follow. Not saying that I won't hear another voice, Father God, but knowing that your word is true. Knowing that your son is the word that you gave to us freely. The word that you not only put in the Bible, but that you put in our heart with the Holy Spirit. There should never be a situation, Father God, where I feel that I don't have access to you. And there never should be in a situation, Father God, where I'm not giving you total access to me. Father, I know how much you love me, and I know the love that I give you would never, ever compare to the love that you give me. But I'm just grateful that you give me the opportunity, that you see me, Father God, that you love me, that you cover me, that you care for me, that you bless me, that you gave me your son. I thank you, I honor you, I praise you. In In Jesus' mighty name, the house says.
Amen.
Amen.